All these terrible situations that happen where you're going right along and then suddenly this terrible circumstance, a big tree falls in your path. The trail is out, it's covered with snow.
You guys are gonna end up being in a news story where you bought a tiny house from a poor Christian minister in the United States of America because you took all of his money.
Okay, I'm at this place, I'm walking along as a Christian, I'm living by faith because the righteous shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And now, as I'm moving along in obedience to your commands, as I'm moving along and trying to live as a Christian in my everyday circumstances, bam.
Apart from you going to jail.
This is it.
This is it. Like, unless he allows you to go to jail.
Like, you feel like he's left the building and he's like,
yes.
It's like, okay, right. Where are you, God? You know,
right.
What do you want us to do in this situation?
Correct.
And then you hear nothing.
Right.
When there is steam or mist or clouds blocking our way, when there is nothing but darkness, God says right there, here's what I expect of you. Okay, this is surely a good rock for me to stop. And you know what time it is. It's time for more Bible study and devotion. Time to stay super hydrated. Very important. It is so absolutely beautiful out here. And I'm so thankful to the Father for bringing me to this place. As I say this right now, there's a deer. This is pretty neat. I'll actually shoot a little video with my phone if I can. I'm not sure if I can, but there's a deer crossing right here in front of me. And, but yeah, that's so adorable. It's beautiful. She's just out here eating. And there she is. She's looking. And, yeah, this is just really neat. This is really cool. I'm sitting here talking to you on one camera while filming, and she's looking at me right now. She's like, I hear you, and I'm keeping my eyes on you. It's so beautiful to be out here with this wildlife, and I didn't plan on sitting down here and talking to you about a deer or even just how absolutely gorgeous it is out here. I wanted to sit down and take a break and get some more water and tell you another really important lesson and stage. It's more of a principle than it is a stage, but it's no doubt a place you'll come to. And that's a place where you can no longer see the trail, and that gets pretty frightening. You're supposed to be following the Lord. There are times in our Christian walk where things seem to be going well, and suddenly it's as if the trail is covered with snow, clouded with darkness, and the mountaintop is full of mist or clouds, and you just can't see where you're going. It's actually happened to me on this trail, and I went out to see if this was doable, and I very quickly ran out of trail.
About, I've been wanting to go up, but I've had to climb pretty steep. I just came from across that way and down, so I've lost the trail because the snow covers it, unfortunately.
And I tried to take another direction, and I got lost.
Sweetheart, I got lost. Trail's too covered in snow.
Because I could no longer see which way to go because of the snow, and I decided to go off the path, and as a result, I broke trail.
I trekked my way all the way from way, way down there. I just came kind of zigzagging up.
And I got a little lost. Praise the Lord, today we have GPS on our phones, and I was able to get connection, and I could get up high enough to kind of see where I was at.
This is like some sort of a little road that I found that gives access to a power facility right over here. So I'm going to try to walk along this and see if I can go up a little higher.
And so the lesson is for you and I to remember that there are going to be times when we're walking with God, when suddenly the trail, the path that we are depending on Him showing us will be shrouded.
Okay, so we're going to cut in on Michael, Mountain Mike. He's going to take a break. And so we were talking about it today. You kind of said, here's the question so many people ask is, what do I do now?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what do I do, mm-hmm. right? So the idea of you being on this trail, this path, spiritually speaking, in your life, and then suddenly you come to a place where the trail is out. You know, in my instance, it's the snow. In life instance, it's a circumstance which, after everything's been going very smoothly, jumps in the way like a giant tree that falls across mm-hmm. your path, and now you're stopped. Things are going right along, and then suddenly, bam, there's the end of the trail.
And we don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do. So when this happens, this is one of those places, it's almost could be similar to the Crossroads episode that we did, where you have to be able to hear God.
Yeah.
This stage that we're talking about, where when you suddenly run into some obstacle and something is blocking your path, what do you do? Do you then lean on human understanding? Mm. Do you lean on the good advice of all of your friends and family?
That's critical. It's really stressful.
It's huge. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
Because now comes the battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, the flesh wants to keep going, wants to keep moving on, wants to find comfort, wants to avoid pain, wants to make progress, whatever it is in the situation you're in. But then the issue then for a Christian, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, the issue then becomes, what does the Lord say about this? And so this is another one of those times where I can help you see how difficult the Christian life is. When you have true Christianity, where Christ is a living Lord, not the great I once was, but the great I am, the great I still am, the great God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who never changes, who still has a demand on your life. This is the difference between spectator Christianity and true Christianity is we're in this game, and now we need to have a play from, I don't want to call him coach, from our master. We need to know, okay, master, we've come to this place, we were moving along in what we thought was your will. We were obeying to the best of our ability, and now we're stopped.
If he's waiting for us to be trapped like he did the Israelites, being trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army, apart from you going to jail,
this is it.
This is it. Like, unless he allows you to go to jail, you can't get any more trapped than that. You know what I mean?
So, yep.
If I'm
trapped.
If he's going to spare you from going to jail, then we're trapped and this is it. And surely Father's going to come through soon.
Yeah. Mm.
And so now it's a time where the Lord would sit back and he'd watch you and say, what are they going to do now? Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel really forsaken by the Lord, don't you? Like, you feel like he's left the building and he's like,
yes.
It's like, okay, right. Where are you, God? You know,
right.
What do you want us to do in this situation?
Correct.
And then you hear nothing.
Right, right. But there's a time where God is going to test Hezekiah. And the scripture says, and I'll put the scripture up here for you so you can see it, where the Lord intentionally backed away from him and went silent to test him, to see how he would respond to this new situation. You see, if you and I could live entirely by our own understanding, by what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears.
Which is what everybody lives by.
So as humans, it's quite natural, there's nothing wrong with it, to be entirely employed by your senses. But then when you become born again, you move out of this natural way of thinking. You move out of myselfianity into Christianity, Christ. You move out of you being Lord and Master into now Him being Lord and Master, and that requires communication. That requires you yielding up.
What's our new favorite word? Self.
Self-determination. Self-determined life. Mm. We saw it in a story we recently watched. We heard the words, and I said, see, now that is exactly what it means to be a Christian who is living disobediently, who lives sitting in the pulpit, who lives practicing a religious belief system but not following the Lord. That's the biggest message of my heart, is to try to get people to understand that, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven, which is first hearing, understanding the teachings of Christ. John 8:47, John 10:4, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, they follow me. So you have to continually follow him, starting with his teachings, right? You start with his teachings, his revealed, written commands, and you have understanding. That's you hearing him as one of his sheep. Mm-hmm. But then it comes to, okay, I'm at this place, I'm walking along as a Christian, I'm living by faith because the righteous shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And now, as I'm moving along in obedience to your commands, as I'm moving along and trying to live as a Christian in my everyday circumstances, bam, I come up against this thing, and now I'm stopped. And so now the question is, what do we do? Right. So,
and you start to panic.
In your flesh, and especially in the beginning, when you haven't really established being able to hear the Lord, or yet having trained yourself to distinguish between good and evil, like which way to go, which not way to go, yes, it can be a little panicky because it feels like you're all alone.
And especially when you have learned to not make decisions based on your own understanding, now that you are walking in faith, walking with the Lord each day, it's like, well, you've got to basically turn away from that to your old ways of having to figure things out and sort things out. And now it's just waiting upon God. And it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And so
right.
You're waiting for the speaking, you know,
right.
God's speaking voice.
Yeah, or it's providence. You're waiting for signs. You're waiting for something. And oftentimes God is having you wait just to wait.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I have seen so many times in my life. I mean, there is no doubt, if I could put my finger on one thing, one instrument, one principle, one method, one tool God has used more than anything next to maybe Satan, it has always been the time issue. You know, we used to joke, there'd be a sermon I'd rehearse to her, and it would talk about waiting to God. It would be maybe an old message that she's hearing, and I'm talking about waiting on God. She goes, there's my favorite word, waiting on God, waiting, just waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the longest time, she hated the idea of waiting because she felt, because you know, you felt that you'd been waiting already so long, like 12 years or something Waiting is something that's very much a part of it. So in other words, a lot of times when you come to the end of a trail and you've met with snow and the trail's out,
they totally dismissed it and closed the case yesterday. I've spent $6,500 and it's come to nothing. I was told there's not a judge over there who would say no to this. And now I'm being told we don't have legal sufficiency. And this derelict, attorney of ours is just doing a horrible job. So
God isn't expecting you to try to figure out a way around it.
I said, I'm so tempted to get a $10,000 passport and be done with it and just say, my government is not giving me justice.
Around it or a way over it. He's expecting you to stand there and wait.
You wait for God to bring you through it, just like a Red Sea or walls of Jericho or the Jordan River. You have to wait for God to remove the obstacles.
You know, when the Israelites got to the Red Sea, they could have panicked and said, okay, we got mountains to the left, we got plains to the right, we got Egyptians to the rear. You know, let's figure out a strategy on what we're going to do to get out of here.
And I'm 5 days away from basically facing jail in Huntsville, Alabama. And I have wasted months of my time and money and my wife's life and I being down here, it looks like. I don't believe that. I still believe God can turn this thing around. I believe God can do a miracle.
But instead, Moses was telling them, just wait. Just wait, watch. God's going to do something for us.
I've got to wait to hear from the boss.
18 hours after I reply, the whole state of Alabama files with the court a motion to entirely dismiss my case. And I don't think it was more than an hour or two that the court responded, case dismissed. And that is what it means to be a Christian, is that you no longer live your life for yourself, but for the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Galatians 5:25 is telling you and I to follow the Spirit's lead in every area of our life.
It's and getting his guidance, isn't
it? It's getting his guidance.
And I mean, it's like us being his soldiers, you know, and him being our commanding officer. We have to wait for our next instruction.
Right. You have to wait. And this, of course, requires patience.
Yeah.
And then it requires that you be born again, truly born again. So, for example, if you were loving this example of ours, the excitement of adventure, faith, even though there's a lot of persecution and suffering in it, but if you knew that you were a lover of the truth, you loved Jesus, you wanted to live, and this was resonating with you, if you started to try to follow our example, but yet you didn't have our faith, you didn't have that born-again, regenerate faith, you'd bought into Christianity as a belief system, but you have yet to step into the kingdom of God, remembering that Jesus told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, that you cannot see and you cannot enter the kingdom of God, invisible kingdom of God, active kingdom of God right now. Jesus is king right now, but you cannot enter into that. And you'll never see Jesus as anything more than just teacher or a very distant, disconnected, you know, architect of the universe and Jesus who kind of set everything into motion and now expects you to just go do what you want. That's not true at all.
He just sits on his throne with his arms crossed.
Right. I mean, Nicodemus.
And he doesn't participate
right,
at all in
and
your life.
And he doesn't care at your life like that gentleman Aaron Frampton.
He just lets you go at it, you
right.
know?
Like that gentleman's comment in the last episode, Aaron Frampton saying, Michael, just God doesn't care whether you drive a blue car or a green car. Right. I agree. In most instances, God wouldn't care. But where we're at right now, God cared. Where we're not at right now, God cared. Everything we have done, every decision we've taken in our life, I mean, years ago, a friend of mine teased and said, Mike Criswell won't even breathe unless God gives him permission. I wouldn't go that far, but he was just trying to make a point that what I'm saying to you now is we as Christians are trying to hear the Lord's will. I mean, look, what is our example? Jesus Christ, John chapter 5. 17, 18, 19. What does he say? He says the Son can do nothing on his own. Not the Son can't do most things on his own. Not the Son can't do some things on his own. He says the Son can do nothing on his own, but he does only that which he sees his Father doing. The words you hear me speak are not my own. They come from him who sent me, Jesus said. I did not come to do my own will, Jesus said, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus even says that the love of the Father for him is conditional. I believe it's John 10:16, 10:17. The Father loves me because. What is because? It's a condition. The Father loves me because I lay my life down only to take it up again. Then you have John 15:9 and 11, Jesus commanding you and I to remain in his love. He may love you and you cannot remain in it, therefore not benefit from it. There's a lot of people that Jesus loves who are not benefiting from his love. The rich young ruler. Jesus says that even he himself remains in his Father's love. Why? Because he obeys his commands and does what he is told. And so Jesus, as he moves along, might say, oh, you Pharisees, I have a lot to say about you. And he could easily take his own action and say a lot about them, but he says, but I only speak, you know, what the Father has sent me to speak. And I started to pray years ago, God, help me to be like that. I mean, brother and sister in Christ, why would you not want to be like that? Why would you not want to allow the Holy Spirit, just as Tozer said, are you sure you want to be filled with the Spirit? Are you sure? Because this Spirit will take over every part of your life. But you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. In Luke 14, Jesus said, the only path to eternal life in peace with him, the King that's coming, is total surrender, giving up everything to him and allowing him to have his way. So supposing Jesus wants to do some things in your life and you're busy reading his word and you're busy going to church, and you're busy on Wednesday night, you're busy watching the YouTube videos, you're busy doing any churchy thing, but you're missing his personal will for your life. He said to the Pharisees, oh, you study the scriptures. Good for you. Because you think that by reading them, you possess eternal life, yet you refuse to come to me, the living Lord. to do my will, to hear my commands, to put them into practice. So our Christianity looks insane to a lot of other Christians. It looks insane when you've sat inside modern Christianity, where we've all been brainwashed to believe this easy believism nonsense that Jesus did it all. It's just not true. It's only true behind a false pulpit in the false church system. It's not true in the Bible. And so our Christianity, when we broke out of that, it starts to look insane. People are like, you're nuts. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just take action? And when you look at the timing in our life, it proves that the Christianity that we have is true. Jesus is saying, I testify that what Michael and Lisa are living and preaching is the true Christianity because I'm doing something in their life that cannot be explained in any other way. There is no explanation for it. Look at all the 777s on Lisa's side. Do you know that there has been 6 major events in Lisa and I's marriage that have all been done in 777 days? So this life that we're living, this stopping, going, waiting, turn to the left, turn to the right, zigzag, is from the Lord. And we were thinking, go ahead.
What comes to mind is something that I mentioned the other day in one of our conversations after our Bible study, where it's like children, you know, when they're young, they are led by their parents. They do everything that their parents tell them to do. And they can't wait to break free of that. They can't wait to hurry up and grow up so that they have their independence.
Yes, yes.
So that they can become adults, make their own choices, make their own decisions for themselves. And not have to do as they're told. And yet Jesus tells us to become like little children. So
that's right.
Us and our nature of who we are when we're children is, wanting to hurry up, grow up, have our independence, do what we want to do, don't have to answer to anybody. But Jesus is saying, that's human nature, but no, I'm saying for you to do the opposite. I'm saying for you to go back to be like little children or to stay as little children. And okay, you don't have to answer to your parents anymore, but I'm your parent. You need to answer to me.
Right.
So it's the emphasis from going from little children answering to their parents to now answering from their heavenly Father.
That's correct.
And so he wants us to remain like little children.
Yes, that's right. And to do his will, 1 John 2:17, Luke 6:46, Matthew 7:21-23, one of the churches in Revelation, he said, to him who does my will to the end, right? So there's this living, breathing relationship available with Christ. And getting to one of these blocks in the road is one of those things that is a mark of whether or not you're actually being led of the Spirit or not. Do you then just solve the problem yourself? Deliver yourself, find a way around, go to friends and counsel, go to a pastor, go to whoever, and find a way around, find a way through, find a way over, or do you humble yourself? See, I can't show you.
Oh, I've got to say something else.
Go ahead, please do.
This is something else we spoke about in one of our Bible studies, where it's talking about Jesus being our shepherd and we're being the sheep. And remember, he talks about how the only way that you can go into the sheep pen is being led by Jesus, led by our shepherd. And that if you climb over the pen to get in, you're a thief.
A robber and a thief.
It's you're getting in apart from being led by your shepherd. So it's like basically the sheep have a master and they obey.
Correct.
And wherever their shepherd goes, they go.
Correct.
And so if the shepherd's leading them into the pen, then they go into the pen. But for those that do not want to have a master, those who want independence, they're the ones that will say, okay, I'm going to bypass the shepherd.
Correct.
I don't want a shepherd. I don't want a boss that I have to answer to. I'm just going to climb in my own way. And he calls them a thief.
It made me think of Matthew 22, where God in the parable looks up and sees the man in the wedding banquet who doesn't have on wedding clothes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just say, you know, leave and go get wedding clothes. It says, take him and throw him out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's pretty severe. This is a serious, serious message. We're trying to plead with people to see that he's a living Lord. I mean, brothers and sisters, I wish we could turn our private life inside out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish we could show people what it looks like when we're sitting here in the morning doing our Bible study.
And we're not saying it's easy, but it's the only way.
No, we're saying it's very difficult.
Yeah, it is.
We're not saying it's easy at all. We're saying it's very difficult. I mean, I will tell you that it does get easier with time. It does get easier with time, but so do the tests. The tests actually get harder and harder. So, but there is a time, like I reached a place where I would never ever want to go back from where God has helped me reach. That's why we're doing this story. And Lisa's been right there behind me. And she's recently reached what we believe to be the highest level of faith that you can have. And it was exceedingly difficult to get there to this place. So it is very difficult to do this.
And, you know, it's just a matter of... like you said, time and allowing your faith to grow and develop.
Yes.
And so what I've noticed in myself, something else that I believe that I've grown in, that the Lord has changed in me, is that from the start when I would fly over and be with you here in America, and we were having to go from Airbnb to Airbnb, and there were many times that sometimes we didn't have enough money for the next Airbnb payment.
Right.
Or the next car rental payment.
Right, right.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I would get really fearful.
Yeah.
And I would start to worry. And
yeah.
I made a comment once in one of the RVs, the really bad rundown RVs that we were in, was that, are we going to have to live in our car?
Live in our car.
And how I would have reacted a year ago, I would have been back
totally
feeling
different.
Nervous and
totally
worried and thinking, where are we going to go?
Correct.
Where are we going to stay?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And yet I just have this peace where it's like, I've seen him come through for us over and over again. Like I've seen his faithfulness to the point now where I'm like, he's got this covered. He knows our needs.
Yes.
He knows exactly, you know, the plan of where he wants us to go, or he'll provide, you know.
Yes,
it's
correct.
Like, I just can take my hands off and just rest now.
Correct.
And just trust.
Correct.
It's beautiful.
That's actually a really good example. If you're moving along and it takes money to make it way through life and suddenly you run out of money or money gets really low, that could be like snow covering the path. Like you can go no farther.
Yeah, that's
And so
right.
you're forced now. What do you do? Like the old me would manipulate circumstances and I'd find some way. I was really, really good at coming up with money, selling something, you know, figuring out some deal, borrowing money, convincing somebody to do something or what have you. That was always my way.
Yeah.
Is I was very strong self-reliance and I would easily deliver myself because I had to trust in myself. I couldn't trust in people.
Mm.
So God had to break me of that financially. But back to this. So yeah, we had been staying at this place in Orlando, Florida, and we're running out of money, and there's a court hearing that's going to be taking place in Alabama, and we're trying to decide, Lord, what do we do? Do we buy plane tickets and go and stay back with Tyler? Where do we go from here? And you get to a place where you don't know what to do, and like, you know, you had said, God wasn't giving us a lot of signs, we weren't getting any direction, so we just prayed. We just prayed, Lord, what do you want us to do? And then we prayed for God to send some finances if he wanted us to stay put because we needed Airbnb money, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we prayed and then suddenly, like, I don't know, was it an hour after we prayed? It was real close.
Mm-hmm.
Within an hour or two, one of my friends who had never given me money like this before sent us $1,000 in PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, oh God, thank you so much. I mean, but that was a time when we were trying to think through what do we do, but
and
we knew we needed to wait on God.
We had gone a few weeks wondering where were we going to go.
Right.
We had no idea.
Right. But we weren't taking matters into our own hands. We never have. If that's, I can give you so many examples. The same thing. We were staying in a place called Tarabella and, you know, this court hearing is coming up in Florida. Do I go? We're not getting much any information from the Lord. We've got a circumstance, you know, that Tyler's coming out to stay with us, but yet there's a court hearing now in Florida. Do I go to it? Do I not? You know, this is where the snow is covering over the trail. We're moving right along and now here's a tree falling in my path. What do we do? What do we do? There was a time when I thought, Jared, Kristen, and I were all going to be moving to Texas. They're feeling called to Texas, and I've got this New Zealand thing, you know, looming over my head. I'm supposed to go that way, and Persis is kicking against it, not wanting to go, and I'm confused, and I don't know what to do, and I could easily just take a decision on things, but we don't do that. We wait, and we pray, and we pray. Persis's apostasy. Do I divorce her? Do I let her go now? Do I kick her out of the house like Tyler is telling me I should because she's never going to learn her lesson if I don't? I mean, what do I do? We looked at buying land for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And there were a few times when we were led providentially to think, oh my goodness, we're going to rent here. This will be the land. And it looked like God was, you know, the circumstances were coming together and then the thing would just fall apart or, mm-hmm. you know, we'd be led in a different direction. And then we started to realize maybe we're supposed to buy land, but yet we don't have enough money. And we were looking at land and we had a very interesting situation happen where we met a Christian woman and Lisa and her family went out and looked at the property and it looked lovely. And circumstances started to sound like this, but then suddenly a contradiction of circumstances, the direction change comes and you, all of these life scenarios, making decisions, you come to a place where the tree has fallen across the path. You know, I send my bags to New Zealand and they get stuck in customs. What do? 2.5 months, my bags are stuck in customs in New Zealand. I send my tiny house. I only have a few $1,000 left. They're charging me $1,200 to $1,300 a day in rent called demurrage. And they've got a guy who's late steam cleaning it. And they can't tell me when it's going to happen. And yet they're charging me all this money. It was a nightmare. And I had to tell them, are you getting ready to try to steal my tiny house? You guys are going to end up being in a news story where you bought a tiny house from a poor Christian minister in the United States of America because you took all of his money. All these terrible situations that happen where you're going right along and then suddenly this terrible circumstance, a big tree falls in your path. The trail is out. It's covered with snow. Total darkness. A big boulder has fallen in your way. What do you do? This is the point I'm trying to make. When these situations happen, as a Christian, you now have to humble yourself and ask the Lord for his guidance. Psalm 32:8, he gives you guidance. He'll lead you in the way. Psalm 25:12, you know, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. But the point is, God will give you guidance if you fear him. He has a plan for your life, and you have to wait. I learned through A.B. Simpson and maybe a few other the old guys that I would read years ago. I one time read about before you move in any direction and take a decision when you don't know what to do, there should be three things that are in alignment before you move forward. And I can tell you, this is not something written cute in a devotion. This is absolute truth. I've been able to point it out to her multiple times. I'm saying, okay, now watch this.
Oh, so helpful.
Very helpful, this. And we've seen this happen over and over and over again. But you don't move forward on anything until you have the inner witness. Number one, that sense inside that this is indeed what you're supposed to do, the direction you're supposed to head. You'll have that inner pull, that inner sense that this is the direction I'm supposed to go, right? Then number two, you will have an alignment with the Word of God. And then you have to have the circumstances. So it's that inner witness, that inner sense, that testifying inside, this is the direction, this is either stay put, move forward, do this, don't do that. Then is it in alignment with the Word of God? Have you been seeing like that Word of God coming up maybe in devotionals or in the Word of God? Can you see some confirmation from what you've been reading? Maybe what you've heard in one of our videos. Man, that verse that Michael just spoke.
Oh, it was a little bit like Keely the other day said that there was something that she was struggling with. And she has a little widget on her phone which brings up scriptures each day.
Yes,
and
scripture
of
the day.
And she flipped and saw it, and it was speaking directly on that very thing that she was struggling with. And she was like, oh my gosh, I know God is speaking to me right now.
Yes,
it was
exactly
a personal word,
you
know, from the Lord to her.
And you most likely have had circumstances like that. If you're staying alert, oftentimes that is the providence of God, like giving you a sign. That's why I wish people wouldn't have been so freaked out over the numbers. All it is a sign.
It's not numbers. It's a scripture reference.
Right, it's just a sign. Yeah. It's just a finger pointing. Yeah. Look at that verse. That's what my heart is for you on that matter. Mm. And, you know, it seems a little bit easy to explain now for all the people that wondered if this was numerology or satanic or I was being led astray. The timing in my life that you would have seen in the 777 Man video could have only happened because God was showing me these numbers as signs along my way, pointing me to scriptures. Mm. It couldn't have happened without it, brothers and sisters. So for somebody to say, like, for example, Taylor, most people don't know this, but Taylor Noel, when she put up her video,
oh, yeah.
she said in the description years ago, right when she put the video up, I will take this video down if Michael will stop following the numbers and get back to just the regular old gospel or what have you, right? Whatever it was. But it was about if I'll stop telling about the numbers and being led by numbers. Now, can you imagine what a slap in the face to God?
That's asking you to stop following the shepherd.
That's asking me to shut Jesus's mouth in whatever way he's chosen to speak to me, whether it's a rock, whether it's that chair sitting over there. Wisdom is proved right by her children. Mm. A tree is recognized by its fruit, right? So I had to know. I didn't need you to know. I didn't need Taylor's approval. I didn't need your approval. And nobody ever talked me out of it, and you wouldn't ever talk me out of it. I moved forward believing, knowing, just like however God chooses to speak to you. I know people that get dreams, they get signs, providences.
Visions.
You know, there's visions. There's been things with like animals, like with me. Brothers and sisters, let God have his way. Don't be so afraid. If your heart is meek and humble before the Lord, you allow him to choose the method. But that would have been no doubt. I told my daughter.
It's not of our business, is it?
No, it's none of our business. Mm. And I told my daughter, I said, that is God speaking to you. Pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that.
Because if you start ignoring it and showing contempt for it, then he'll stop talking.
Exactly right. I mean, I've seen over the years many times Tyler, God using 919 or 666 with Tyler. You cannot deny it. He has so shown me so many instances where he was getting ready to tell his boss this, or he was going to talk to this person or take this action. And he says, Dad, I walk out in the car park next to me, 919, and he knew I'm not supposed to do it. Or he would see a 666 as a warning. My own son, take note of this, inner witness, word of God, and the circumstances agree. Mm-hmm. We've seen many situations where that tree is in our path, where the snow is covering the way, and we have two of the three.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the word of God and the circumstances, but the inner witness is not right.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not feeling, we're not supposed to move forward on this.
Yeah.
So important, brothers and sisters.
Mm. And if you don't have the three, then you stay put.
Then you stay put.
You don't move and you just wait.
It's like a trinity of confirmation. You know, it's, you could almost say that whoever got that insight from the Lord was hearing where Jesus and Paul preached, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses.
Mm.
There's the two or three witnesses. There's three witnesses in the Trinity. It's like these are the Trinity of moving forward or not moving forward, staying put or not staying put, inner witness, word of God, and then the circumstances.
And then we've got a story about a sister.
I'm glad you remembered that.
Who emailed you. And she had been struggling with the topic of Christmas.
Christmas.
And she had heard all your Christmas messages.
Yes.
And she agreed.
Yes.
And
right.
she knew it was wrong.
Right.
And but she was struggling because she was getting persecuted
by her
husband
right.
and by the family.
Yes.
And they had children. And so it made it extra hard.
Yeah.
And so she had emailed you, and this is going back, I think, last year. She had gone to Christmas, I believe, if I remember rightly, but she was still struggling with it.
Yeah.
And so she contacts you and asks your opinion on it, even though she's watched the videos. And so you send her an email back and you suggest that she hears directly from the Lord on
it.
That,
yes.
you know, this is a personal matter and
right.
God has a word for you
yes.
on it. And so she goes away, and it's been months and months since you emailed her.
Yes, it was months.
And she emailed us back, was it a week ago?
It was very painful. I mean, it was a really big deal for
her.
Yeah, it was. She kind of reached out to us a few times about it.
Mm.
Yeah, and then we just suddenly got this message.
Yeah, and she said that, she was so excited. She's like, God has finally spoken to me.
Isn't that wonderful?
He's finally given me the answer.
Right.
And he's told me
yes.
that he doesn't want me celebrating Christmas.
Yeah.
And you could just feel the relief, you know, her relief through the email that finally, you know, she knew exactly what the Lord was wanting her to do. And what was so beautiful is that apparently a brother in Christ had spoken to her husband about it, and God had moved in her husband's heart through this brother on the subject of Christmas, and he seemed to be at peace about it.
And so it's all been arranged that he will take the children to the family and have Christmas while she stays at home. But he's fine with it now. Before there was antagonism and animosity there, and now it's like the mercy of God has come.
I know,
and
it's a beautiful...
the circumstances have opened up.
Yes,
so
right.
It's like all three
yep.
have been
yep.
you know, checked off.
Yep. So she's walking down the trail. She comes to a place where they were at an impasse on an issue. It's like the big log or the snow covering the trail, and she doesn't know what to do. You can see, and patience, she waited. Mm. So many times, the decision will only come after you wait for a while and you allow God to clear the way. Mm. Just like in this example, in this video, I could not go up on that trail and begin to do planning for this until God cleared that snow away. There was no way. I went up and I was like, I'm not going to be doing this for a while. Mm. I'm a bit premature. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else you can think of?
So it's just a matter of trusting God that he knows, and he knows that you're expecting an answer from him, and he will deliver it. And you've just got to trust that he will, believe that he will, and have the patience to wait.
Right.
And he'll come through for you.
Yes, he will. He absolutely will. Mm-hmm. And you have to have courage. It's fearful to wait. It's fearful to lose control. Mm. It's fearful to not deliver yourself,
Absolutely.
To not trust in humans. It's so easy to run to a human being, and God is wanting to see, just like in that Hezekiah example, he may distance himself to watch you to see how you respond. And God is looking for people who really trust him. I mean, brothers and sisters, take our word for it. We're living it. God has signed his approval with the timing. So we'll end it here and get back to Mountain Mike. He's probably tired of waiting. Wouldn't you think by now he's probably ready to get going with the video? He's like, come on, guys, wrap it up. Are these two ever going to be quiet? Thanks for letting us share this with you. Here you go, Mountain Mike. Take it away.
And that is when you do what? That is when you do Isaiah 50, 10, and 11. You don't do what I did. And again, I took a calculated risk. I wouldn't have done it this far out. This was much closer to our accommodation when I did that, I want you to know. But when you come to a place where you can no longer see clearly which way to go, that's the time to stop and not move forward. Trusting the sovereign God has allowed that snow or whatever it is to cover the path to make you unable to see the next step. And of course, that is very common in the living of a life of faith, where you're not going to be able to see. We choose not to live by sight, but by faith. But sometimes, even if you wanted to live by sight, you won't be able to following God. He will shroud it in mystery sometimes. And that's a time where God will tell us, wait, be patient. You might be in a hurry. I'm not. He might be testing us to see if you'll move ahead and take a deliverance for yourself, take an action for yourself, something that would prevent you from staying put and waiting God's time, doing his will. And that's where we get in trouble. I remember years ago, Charles Stanley said, right before God wants to bless you, oftentimes Satan will come and put a trap door right in front of it. And that is his way of trying to steal God's glory and you of the goodness of God in your life. And there'll be a decoy that will show up. I think the same thing can happen. If you get off the trail, if you get ahead of God, if you try to push your way through, there is a time to proceed resolutely. I think I can never remember the book. It might be, it's either Luke or Mark, where it says, when the time came for Jesus to go to heaven, he proceeded resolutely to Jerusalem. There was opposition in the way. If you will, kind of a snow on the path. The Samaritans were kind of blocking his way. They were giving him resistance. But at that time, he had heard from the Lord and he knew that he was to push through. There are times when, although something is covering the path, there's an obstacle, a tree in the way. This is why the Christian life takes discernment. Am I supposed to continue to power through this by faith, persevering through this, like Jesus, setting out resolutely to get to my result? Or is this snow in the path? Is this cloud on the mountain to stop me? See, Isaiah 50, 10 and 11 is a very, very important scripture for us to remember at this time. And Isaiah 50, 10 and 11 says that who is the man or woman who fears the Lord? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light. That's like having snow on your path. That's like having a cloud on your mountain and you can't see anymore where you're supposed to go. So God is saying, who is the person in that situation? You fear the Lord, you obey the words of his servant. Let him who has no light, who walks in the dark, learn to rely upon his God and trust in the name of the Lord. And then he goes on to say the alternative of that. But all of you who light fires for yourselves, all of you who get a shovel out and knock the snow, or you take a different route because your way is blocked, or you just throw faith and waiting on God out the window, you take the proverbial bull by the horns and you begin to take a decision for yourself. All of you who light fires for yourselves, go. Walk in the light of your fires and of the torches that you have set ablaze. You've made your own light. This is what you will receive from me. You will lie down in torment. This is what the unchanging God says comes out of his heart for you and I when God brings darkness, when there is snow across our path, when there is steam or mist or clouds blocking our way, when there is nothing but darkness. God says right there, here's what I expect of you. Trust in and rely upon your God. Wait for him. None of they who wait for him shall be put to shame. Since the Lord is my portion, I will wait for him. Jeremiah cries out in Lamentations chapter 3. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever perceived a God like you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. This is Isaiah 64:4, one of the more important scriptures that God taught me early on in the beginning of my walk with him. How often I wanted to get ahead. In Psalm 32, it says, don't be like the horse or the mule. It speaks of God giving guidance. These must be controlled by bit or bridle or they will not come to you. I was always the horse running out ahead of God. So just as I did that morning when I came across snow, do you think I was just going to give it up and turn around and go back? No, I found an alternative route. And in the beginning of my walking with God, I did this. I've had a few friends who are mules who they would see the snow 100 yards before they got to and they'd turn around and say, forget it, I'm not doing it. And it's very difficult for God to get them to move forward. They're always having to be pushed and pushed and pushed or pulled and pulled and pulled. Whereas me, I was always that horse wanting to run out and race. Let me at it, tiger, type of thing. So this is really important. This is, again, now you will begin to see some of the pain and the suffering of Christian life when you come to a place in the road where you're stopped and you no longer know which way to go. And now you have to humble yourself. You have to wait on God. You have to deny yourself. You have to put down your thoughts. And for sure, you have to ignore the good advice of all the people that are around you telling you, well, if it were me and I were you, I would do this. But it is not them and they are not you and you are to answer to him. So my dear brother and sister in Christ, when we come to a place where our trail is blocked, let us be patient and allow the Lord. It's just like what happened with where I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 2:18, maybe. I don't know. Where Paul says, I tried to come to you again and again, but Satan stopped me. If you simply go one more chapter to 1 Thessalonians 3:11, look at what Paul's response to that was. By the way, that first verse is a verse that I often use to say to charismatics who believe they can bind Satan and his demons. I say, well, how come Paul, the great apostle, who had far more power than you did, how come he didn't bind Satan? That's a story for another teaching. But if you look and see what Paul's response was, he didn't fight. He didn't try to run through the snow. He didn't try to find a different path. He says, Satan stopped us and basically we allowed it. And here's how we know. 1 Thessalonians 3:11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Brothers and sisters, how neat that I had to actually wait for the Lord himself to clear this way, my way, so that I could come to you up on this mountain. It's true. It's amazing. I was so disappointed when I first came down, you know, to the very lower parts and found out, oh my goodness, I can't get anywhere near up this mountain. There's snow everywhere. And I had to wait to let God do his thing with the sun and the changing of the season for him to make a way for me to get to you. Make sure that when you find this scenario lying in your path, do not try to go around it or over it. Don't try to make a way for yourself. You will almost always fall into a ditch. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. How many times did God rebuke Israel for not waiting on his counsel, but running ahead, digging cisterns and wells that have no water, violating King Solomon's wisdom in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. Oh, and speaking of straight path, it's time for me to fuel up with some more water and get back. And who knows, I wonder if I'll get a better picture of the deer. I don't see him, but her. I keep calling him a him, but I just mean him as in an animal. But who knows, maybe I might catch a better deer. I'd rather see a deer than a bear, wouldn't you? God bless you. Can't wait to see you on the next video. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.